case, we left off yesterday with a very, very complicated diagrams on the board. If you think I'm going to be able to repeat that diagram, forget it. I'm not even going to try. So basically, what we left off with was a major machlekes rishonim within the parameters of this principle called Ein Safek Meitzei Medevada. The Gemara has such a klal in Maseches Yevamos. The question is, what exactly does it mean? So the bottom line is, after all the tumbling in Yevamos Daf Lamed Ches and Baba Bas for the end of the ninth parak, it came down to two major approaches in the Rishonim. One was the approach of Rashi and the Rashbam. It ain't something about the Nevada. It's really pretty simple in the sense of whenever you have a din Torah between two people, and one of the parties is for sure going to get something out of the issue at hand, he's for sure going to walk away with a certain percentage of the money, whereas the other person would try to be down on whether he's entitled to anything. So since one person for sure has a shaykhus to the money, and the other one may or may not, ain't something most of the Nevada, the person who for sure has part of the money ends up with all the money. That's Rashi Sheet. That's Rashbam Sheet. Whereas, according to Taisus, there is no such halacha. According to Taisus, the fact that you're entitled to X amount of money means you're entitled to the whole pot. Taisus said the din of ain't something most of the Nevada is limited to a very, very unique case, like the case in Yevamos Daf Lamed Ches, where we're trying to be done whether the person is a Yerish or not. Remember, okay, we'll draw at least part of the story. Not too much. We had a case of Yaakov, and Yaakov has two sons. He has Reuven, and he has Shimon. And then there's a third person over here. We'll call him, what did we call him yesterday? Levi. We're not sure who Levi is. We're not sure whether Levi is Reuven's son, or whether Levi is Shimon's son. How did that happen? Because someone got married when they weren't supposed to get married. So the bottom line is we have a person who's a Suffolk. And now the question is, let's say Reuven's no longer alive, and Yaakov dies, so the question is, where does his Yerusha go? So 50% of the Yerusha for sure is going to go to Shimon, and the question is, does Levi have anything? So if Levi is Reuven's son, then he gets 50% of the Yerusha. If Levi is Shimon's son, then of course he gets nothing. So that's what the Gemara says, Ein Safek Motzim Devadeh. So the Rashi and the Rashbam said, why is that called Ein Safek Motzim Devadeh? Because since Shimon has something, he for sure has 50%, and the male will give him 100%. So Tosfos says there's no such klal. Tosfos said the only reason why this is called Ein Safek Motzim Devadeh, because Shimon has a shame, a Yerish. We know for a fact he's a gavra of a Yerish. Levi is a Safek Yerish. Whenever you have one person who's about the Yerish, one person not about the Yerish, that's called Ein Safek Motzim Devadeh. That was the Machlokes Rashi, Tosfos. The question is, how does this affect us in terms of Bamitzvah? So we have a Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, when you have Shinai Merchis and Batalis, and one person claims Kula Shali, and the other person claims Chetzi Shali, so how do you divide it up? Know what does Mishnah say? Quick. Okay. 75-25. Okay, good. 75-25. So, why do you divide it up 75-25? Why don't you say, Ein Safek Motzim Devadeh, the person who is for sure going to get 50%, because you have to have 50% that I've been arguing about. So one of the Bali Din is for sure going to get 50%. So he has a shaykhus to the money. He has something in the pot. So what are you saying? Something about the Nevada, let him keep the whole thing. So according to Taisus, that's not a cash. According to Taisus, the cash doesn't even get off the ground. Because according to Taisus, just because you're entitled to part of the money doesn't mean you're entitled to the whole money. It's only when we're being kaveh Hashem Yerish. According to Taisus, it's not a problem. But what about according to Rashi and the Rashbam? That's what we left off yesterday, right? But the Rashi and the Rashbam, why don't we pasuk it up in our Mishnah, ain't something makes him divide then. So come to Rishonim and give a whole series of different, in a sense, technical reasons, in a certain sense, tangential reasons, why our case is different. Why do the regular rules of Ein Safek Motzim Devadeh kick in about Metziyat Davnis? So comes the Taisus HaRosh and suggests the following. Says the Taisus HaRosh, in the classic case of Ein Safek Motzim Devadeh, when you have Shimon against Levi, so since Shimon gets 50%, Mimela, he gets 100%, because Levi is a question whether he gets anything. Who created the suffix? Who created the fact that Shimon gets 50%? Who is responsible for that reality that Shimon walks away, that Shimon's got his hands in the pot? Who created that reality? Who created that Shimon gets 50% over here? Yaakov had a son. His son's name was Shimon. Shimon's a son. He's a child. Do we have anybody to blame for that reality? Is Reuven at fault for that? Is Levi at fault for that? Did Shimon contribute? Nobody contributed to that. Yaakov met a nice girl. He got married. They met at an event. They met in a whatever the hell they met. They got married. They had a child. And So Shimon exists into the world today. So Shimon's existence is just a reality. Nobody brought about this situation. Whereas over here, in our Mishnah, so here we have the same people in our Mishnah. We call them the same people just to keep things easy. Levi and Shimon are having a din Torah. Okay? Shimon's claiming Kula Shali. And Levi's claiming what? Mechza Shali. So what are we saying? Aha! Since he's saying Mechza Shali, he's saying Kula Shali, so he gets for sure 50%. Ah, let that 50% turn into 100%. So there's a rush, nothing doing. He said, who created the fact that Shimon for sure has 50% of the talis? Who created that? Levi's words. It's Levi by timing Mechza Shali instead of saying Kula Shali. Levi created the situation where Shimon becomes the Vaday. So Zachta tells a rush that if I'm the Baldin, and I'm the one who created the Vada, then you turn around and turn that against me. It's a, to borrow a phrase, a Pesha also Pesha Hittir, so to speak. It's, I'm the one who created the whole Vada and stuff in the first place, so now you're going to turn that to my detriment and you're going to take away all my money from me? That doesn't make any sense. So says the Tazerosh, the Medrash Amurim is the concept of Ein Sofkin Mosav Nevada, when the Vada is independent and the Sofkin is independent. Now Bezin is looking at the whole picture, so Ein Sofkin Mosav Nevada, according to Rashi and the Rishbam. But if the other Baldovo is the one who is responsible for creating that Vada and Sofkin, the whole cloud of Ein Sofkin Mosav Nevada falls by the wayside. That's the Tazerosh's suggestion. So according to Tazerosh, if I would ask you conceptually, what's the rule? Because there's Obadas Rashi. Today she has Alibi the Rashi. What's the rule and what's the exception to the rule? So you have two cases. You have Yevamis, Aflamut Ches, and you have a Metzia of Vez, right? Two cases. Same parties, same Levi, same Shimon, Levi, Shimon, Mechza Shli, Kula Shli, 50%, 50%, right? What's the rule? What's the exception to the rule according to the Rashbam? What's the rule of Ein Sofkin Mosav Nevada? The real rule is Yevamis Lamut Ches. But Metzia is a quirk. Metzia is the Yaitse Ben HaKlal, because since in Metzia, the Suffolk of the Vada was created by one of the Bali Dover himself, therefore it's not subject to the regular rules of Ein Sofkin Mosav Nevada. Comes to the Mukha Yosef and comes from a different angle. Comes to the Mukha Yosef and says, no, Yevamis is not really the rule. There's something funny about Yevamis. There's something unique about Yevamis that doesn't exist in Metzia. Not that there's something funny about Metzia doesn't exist in Yevamis, the other way around. What's funny about Yevamis? What is it Ein Sofkin Mosav Nevada? So says the Mukha Yosef, you know, the very principle of Ein Sofkin Mosav Nevada, especially when Rashi and Rashbam present it, is really a tremendous color. Between you and me, as the Rishonim say, V'chim Yishum Shu Vaday Bebechtzi Yer Vaday Bekula, what kind of Bishagas, what kind of story is that? Because I have part of the money, do you forget the whole money? Well, what does that mean? What kind of story? Mehechat they say, why should it be? What's my shaykhus? Just because I'm a vada and half the talis, I should be a vada and the whole talis. Just because I'm a vada and half the chas, I'm a vada and the other half. But we're not being down in the first half. The dintar is not on the first 50%. The dintar is on the second 50%. So my hanili, the fact that I was a mukhzid, that I'm a vada in the first 50%. How does that help? So says the Mechai Yosef, it must be because of the very unique aspect of dintar that's taking place in Masechus Yevamis. In Masechus Yevamis, it's a dintar about what? What kind of area of din Yevamis? It's about Yerusha. Yerusha is a funny kind of din mamonos. You know why? When you have a din Torah between potential Yerushim, when a person, let's say a person dies, Reuben dies, let's say Yaakov dies and leaves five sons. Okay? So that relationship of the property prior to the division of the Yerusha is a very, very funny type of relationship. In a certain sense, each one of the sons is a Yerusha's kohen chasim. I'm a son, and you're a son, and you're a son, and you're a son. So we're all Yerushim. I'm entitled to the whole estate, and you're entitled to the whole estate, and he's entitled. Each one is each kiyavus uveinein lo v'avatvus achalos levitim. You give it to the Yerushim. Oh, wow. And the Metzias Advarim is that, well, it's true I'm a son, but you're also a son. It's true you're a son, the other guy's also a son. So now what we have to do is, we have to divide up the property. But the Ikaron, fundamentally, I really had a shaykhus to the whole property. I was in a certain sense, again, it's in a theoretical sense, I was yerish the whole property, and now, for technical reasons, we had to divide up that you can't have five people being yerish the whole property, so you gotta, no, what can you do? I gotta take part of it, you take part of it, he takes part of it. But I had a shaykhus to the whole mechasim. So comes in mechasim and says, in the realm of Hilchus Yerusha, when Shimon is a vaday on the 50%, he is not only a vaday on the 50%, he's a vaday on what else? He's a vaday on what else? On the other 50% also. Because once you have some of the Yerusha, you really have the whole Yerusha. So So now, ain't something what's been done, it makes a lot of sense. In a case of Yerusha, so when I'm 50% on 50% of the Yerusha I have, I'm not just a Vada on that 50%. I'm a Vada on everything. I didn't use the word Shen Yerush. I didn't use the word Gavra, like Taisus said. No. Says the Bukha Yosef, Hukhus Yerusha is different because of the nature of Yerusha is such that holding on to part of the property is tantamount to holding on to the entire property. But she ain't getting Talus. So Talus. I'm not getting the entire half to Talus. What does it have to do with the other half of the Talus? I take a scissor and cut the Talus in half. So what a... Each part, each molecule, each atom of the talus is a separate dentira. So just because I grew up on the half the talus, that means I'm a talus. I'm a half the talus. My Indian Zayt says that. So says in the book of Yosef, the rule is, even according to the Rashbam, and according to Rashi, the rule is basically ain suffik. Basically the rule is ain suffik motzim devada. There is no such rule of ain suffik motzim devada. It doesn't make any sense to tell motzim devada. The only time you can begin to be done and ain't something to devadai is only in Hukas Yerusha. Now, the problem with the Ruchay Yosef, it sounds dangerously close to what? To Tosis, but it's not the same as Tosis. Why is it not the same as Tosis from yesterday? Remember the case? What was the case we spent mostly yesterday this year on? Nafal what? Nafal Bayis Alavial, right? Balavial Aviv, Alavial Email. That was a suffix of what? That was a suffix of Hukas Yerusha. But there wasn't the suffix of Hilchas Shein Yeresh. It was the suffix of Metzias that happened to play out in Hilchas Yerusha. So that'll be the Nafkamina between the Rashbam and Rashi and the Rashbam, Ali B'din Mughal Yosef against Tosfos. According to Tosfos, it doesn't matter that it's a Din Hilchas Yerusha. That's not what interests me. You can have a suffix of Hilchas Yerusha as Lamal of Lamayrit. According to Tosfos, the only time a suffix of Devadi applies is when it's a question of the Shem Gavra. So since the nature of the suffix in Yevamos Daf Lamed Ches is a suffix of the Shem Gavra, Alzeh Ne'amar Ein Suffix Motzim Devane. And Baba Basra Kufnu and Tess, it's not a suffix of the Shem Gavra, it's a suffix in what? What's the nature of the suffix in Baba Basra Kufnu and Tess? Suffix in Metzias, when the house fell down. So it doesn't matter that it's Hilchos Yerusha, it's the nature of the suffix, it's not in the Gavra, it's a suffix in the Metzias, a suffix in the Maisa. So according to Tosfos, you can't be done in something about Devadi over there. The Nebuchad Yosef says with Das Rashi and the Rashbam that you can be done in something about Devadi even if the source of the suffix is a suffix in Metzias, as long as what area of Halach you're in, as long as you're in Hilchos Yerusha, that's all. That's the only question, the only thing that matters is, are you in Hilchos Yerusha or not in Hilchos Yerusha? So far, so good. So we have, again, this is all with Das Rashi and Rashbam. Leave out Tosfos. Tosfos is going to get us confused. But with Das Rashi and Rashbam, we want to know, when does the principle of Ein Safek Motzei Devadi apply, and when does it not apply? So we're getting contradictory vibes from Chazal. So in Yevamos Daf Lamed Ches, we're saying Ein Safek Motzei Midevadi, whereas in Bava Metzi, we're saying Safek is Motzei, and therefore we're going to split. He's going to get a quarter, even though over here, Levi walks away with zero. Okay, so over here, the split becomes 100% to zero, whereas over here, how does the split become? The split in the end becomes 75 to 25. So this is the question: why is this 100 to 0? Why is this 75 to 25? So we have two mahalchim again, according to Shitas Rashi. So we have the Taisa Rosh's mahalach b'das Rashi. That the difference is in the Vamas, the suffix was what? Me'elov, whereas in Bav Metzia, Hugaram, he causes the suffix. That was a Tazer Rosh distinction. But Yosef says, nah, the difference is, in Yevamos, it's a suffix in Hilchos Yerusha, whereas in Bav Metzia, it's in Shaar Dinim Amnes. Okay, so far so good. Any other approaches? Any last shots? Before we move on? What? The Ritva. Comes the Ritva. It says, I'll explain to you Shitas Rashi in the Rishon. I'll tell you why Ein Safek Motzei Devadi makes sense in Yevamos Lamed Ches and it falls short above Metzia of Beis. What does Ein Safek Motzei Devadi mean, says the Ritva? Why do you apply such a strange principle? So the Ritva sounds like Ein Safek Motzei Devadi means when a person is only a Safek, who are you? You have a Safek. Guy walks in the basin, spatzias in the basin, and he says, here I am, I may be, see, I crossed it out too early. Whose son am I? Levi? I may be Reuven's son. Shimon, we know, has shaychus to this property. Shimon for sure is going to get some of the Yerusha. No question about it. So Shimon, we recognize. Two guys walk the basin together, Shimon and Levi. Shimon introduced himself. How are you? Shimon, we know you. We recognize you. Your name's on the registry. You're Yeresh. Levi walks in the basin. We look at him in the face, like, who are you? Where are you coming from? He starts to tell you a story. Well, I may be a Yerush. I'm not really sure who my father is, but I may be Reuven's son. It's possible. You may be. Go back to the records. Go ask your mother. Go figure out what happened 20 years ago and come back to us when you have some real information to go on. So basically, we look at him, we laugh at him. We say, you're not even a lady, this is all fake. It's like in life. Sometimes there are fakers. Sometimes you're not sure what to do in life. So sometimes it's a real bona fide latest of suffix. And sometimes it's not even a suffix. It's a nothing. It's not easy. The child didn't even start yet. So when Levi walks in the basement, here I am, I may be a Yoyish, I may have some shaykhs to the money, we look at him like he's crazy. Shimon, we know, has part of the money to go on. Shimon's walked to the bank. He's on his way to, he's standing by the ATM. He's depositing the money. And here comes Levi out of left field and says, I want some of the money. We say, Levi, go jump in where? Lake. Go jump in the lake. We don't know who you are. That's what Ein Sarim Rotzei Devani means, according to Rashi and Rishbam. Whereas over here, does that carry over here? That marshal of telling the guy, we don't know who you are, we don't know, you have no shaychas here, we never met you before. What? We don't know who you are. Who is Levi? What's Levi doing over here? He's holding half a towel in his hand. What do you mean you don't know who he is? He's a nothing. He's a zippo. He's a zero. Of course he has shaychas to the case. So comes the Ritvon and says, Ein Sarim Rotzei Devani means, it's a mistake, it's not a correct term, Ein Sarim Rotzei Devani. What it really means is, Ein Zero Rotzei Devani. Ein Efes Rotzei Devani. In Daf Lamed Ches, in Yevamos, Levi is an Efes, he's a zero. That's why he's got a big zero by his name. He is a zero and he gets a zero. It's nothing. Zero. Used to be somebody when I was in elementary school. So, They came from another country, and some of the kids like picking on them a little bit, and they were trying to answer back, and they're trying to. So I don't know exactly the country that they came from. Apparently, this was considered like the biggest rank out of the world. They said, "You're a big zero." They used to tell everybody they're a big zero, so everyone would laugh even further. Said, "Whoever heard of such a? That's not the typical rank out of a fifth grader." They would walk around telling everybody, "You're a zero. You're a zero. You're a zero." Okay. Anyway. So that was what reminded me when I saw Levi. Bring back my gears of the end. So Levi's one big fat zero. You know why he gets zero? Because he is a big zero. Levi over here, he's not a zero. I'm a very important person. I'm holding on to here for talus. You can't throw me out. You can't tell me to jump in a lake. I'm holding a talus. So comes the Ritva and tells us the difference is in Yevamos, the guy is a zero. In Bar Metzia, the guy is very important. Chashuv. Oh, he's very, very important because he's holding around the Hepatalis. You may even want to call him a mukhsar, but you have nothing else to call him. Okay? So Rabbi said, we have three Mahalchim in the Rishonim within Rashi and the Rashbam. Of course, according to Tosfos, we'll put Tosfos all the way on top, there was never really a question in the first place because in Yevamos, the latest asafik was Shein Yeresh, whereas in Bava Metzia, it's just Stam asafik and what? Okay, so four malachim in the Rishonim. Why? Some places we say in Sabi B'Tzivad, in other places we don't. If he's Shimon's son, he's a zero. Everyone's somebody's son.
No, but I'm saying he's definitely a player in this case. It's definitely, there's something to show Rishon Shavu'ach or something like that.
Okay, that's still called, I think that's still nothing. You don't have anything real to go on. You don't have any facts to go on. Here we have a fact. The fact that he's holding on to a talus. The fact that he's somebody's son. Everybody has a father. There's a chance that his father may be the lucky guy over here. Maybe. I mean, you want to make it even better. You want to make it even stronger. That how can you call him a Sofik if he's a Vada, at least on the inside, based on the inside? Maybe. You want to do something with Vol a little bit. Maybe. Okay, Rabbi Sai. Comes Taisus now in a few different places and introduces into this sugya a complicated sugya of a comment of Tess and Aleph. And depending on how you read the Gemara of a comment of Tess, it's going to shed a whole brand new light on that discussion about Ein Sarim Rotzei Devani. So we need 10 steps back in order to understand what the Gemara of Kavod Avtes is talking about, and then hopefully we'll understand whether it is relevant to the Metzia Dav Beis or whether it's not. So we have to familiarize ourselves again with some principles of Hilchos Yerusha. We spoke a lot about Yerusha yesterday, one unique part of Yerusha. But let's get back to the basics of Yerusha, the ABCs of Yerusha. Not the complicated story with the guy, with the mother dies, with the sons, with Rachel, with Binyamin, the houses collapsing. That's too complicated. A very simple, simple, normal case. Yaakov dies. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, everybody's happy, right? He's got a lot of sons. And he dies. Obviously, the loch is, we're going to divide up the Yerusha. Comes the Gemara and raises a mamish alumdus shechakira. This is like a chorein shechakira in the Gemara itself. How do you understand this phenomenon? Very strange phenomenon. When Yaakov first dies, the moment of death, who owns the property? At that split second, as soon as he dies, who's the bailam on the property? What? What do you say? Beis Din is not in the business of owning property. Beis Din may have work to do, but Beis Din doesn't own the property. So who's the bailam on the property? What? All three of them. So what do we call that? So this concept of property that's owned by all three of them is called what? I don't know. Called Tfusas Habayis. Okay, what's the English term for that? Modern day legal term for that? Oh, the estate. It's called the estate, okay? Person dies, and the money, right? Is that the term, right? The money's in the estate. So what does that mean? That means it has not yet been divided. So the money's in the estate, so the Tfusas Habayis. What's going to happen? Reuven, Shimon, Levi are eventually going to come. Now, they don't have to come to Beis Din for this. They don't need to waste money on lawyers on this. If they're three nice guys who could figure out themselves what to do, so they'll divide it up. So let's say Reuven's a farmer, so he wants to take some of the land. Shimon's in business, so he could use some of the cash. Levi's, I don't know, he's running a pizza store. He could use some of the extra, the guy had some extra flour or something. I don't know, they'll figure out whatever, they'll divide it up. Well, if they're all farmers, they'll take a little piece of land. You don't need a great chachma. If everybody's shalom v'shalva, they'll figure out to divide up the Yerusha properly. You don't need any great ma'aseh Beis Din for this. So eventually there's going to come a time when the three brothers are going to part ways. Reuven's going to walk away with his part of the Tfusas Habayis. Shimon's going to walk away with his part of the Tfusas Habayis. And Levi's going to walk away with his part of the Tfusas Habayis. At that point, obviously, we're not going to call it anymore. What? Tfusas Habayis, right? The state has been divided. It's a lumdisha question. How do you view that new transaction that's taking place? We have transformed money that used to be between Sabayas, that's now divided into private properties. That was divided into individualized property. That division, what do you name that division in halakha? Why is that a bothering, why are you involved with this kasha? We know that there are different ways to transfer property in halacha. You can transfer property by giving a matan, you can transfer property by selling, you can transfer property by mafki, by maktish. There are a lot of different mechanisms in halacha to transfer property. So how do we view the transfer of property from what used to be the Tfusas Habayis into the individuals of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi? So the Gemara raises a possibility that maybe the nature of this transferring is like lekuchos. It's as if the other brothers have bought each other out. It's not all that different from a regular shutfis. Let's say you have a shutfis. Let's say you have three partners own, they buy a piece of land together. Then they decide to divide it up into three parts. So they buy whatever it is. They let's say one gets $1,000 worth of land, one gets $500. They buy each other off, whatever it is. Each one is considered to be like a lekeach on his chelik of the land. So is that what the halacha defines? Whenever you divide up between sevayis, so it's considered to be like each one is a lekeach. I bought out your share, you bought out my share, and now each one is a lekeach on the part that's left to him. What do we say now? The relationship of lekeach, it's not really lekeach. There was no real buying and selling taking place over here. We're still yorshim. We're still considered to be, we can't call it Tfusas Habayis anymore. We never really parted ways as lekuchos, zevizeh. We're still yorshim. That means it's as if I'm the only son on this chelek, and you're the only son on that chelek, and you're the only son on that chelek. We're still considered to be bound together to some degree. We're still yorshim. We never really bought each other out. It's just that the Torah instituted a new entity called Yerusha. Yerusha means Reuben takes this year, Shimon takes this year, Levi takes this year. But there never really was a lekuchas. There was never really a mechira in the classic sense of dini mamonos. So the Gemara raises the shaila many, many places in Shas. Ha'achim shechoku ki yershim dami or ki lekuchas dami. So ki lekuchas means that it's as if there was a mechira which divided them up. Yarsha means there's not really a mechira that divided them up. It's just that's how Chazirusha just says, I take Marsha, you take Yarsha, you take this year and Shoran. We don't view it as there was actually a mechichomem between the two. By Nafkamina Ladina, it's a very, very long, it's a very esoteric question. Who cares what the nature of Chalukas Hatzvus HaBayis is? What's the most famous sugi about this? Before we get to the comment of test, this is all background. What's the famous Nafkamina Ladina? Famous one at the end of the fourth Pekha Gittin. Anybody knows? Not so famous. We never got to the fourth parak. What? Famous sugi. The end of Memchas, the fourth parak of Gittin. Well, who said the word? Yovel. That's Nafka Mina. Comes the Gemara and says, there is a din if I sell a field to you. So when the Yovel comes, I get the field back. You sell a field to me. When the Yovel comes, you get the field back. If it's a steachuza, if it's a field that's been in the family from all the way back to the days of Yeshua ben Nun, so then comes Yovel, and the field's a chayzer. That parsha satoira of Chazara Sadas B'Yovel is only talking about Mechira Sadas, Chesim Karu. The Torah says, if I sell you a field, the din of Chazara Sadas B'Yovel doesn't apply to Yerusha. It only applies to fields that were divided up, fields that were transferred through the mechanism of Mechira. So come to the one raises the Shiloh, what's the din? So he had Tfus Abayas in the year 35 of Yovel. And Reuben went his way, Shimon went his way, Levi went his way, and all of a sudden 15 years later, Yovel arrives. The question is, does the mitzvah Yovel require that each one of them return the fields to each other, put everything right back in the Tfus HaBayis over again, and start again, and redivide the fields? Is that what the mitzvah Yovel requires of them? Ha'achat shecholku machzirin zel zebi Yovel? Ein machzirin zel zebi Yovel. So the Gemara says, depends. If you hold that the division of Tfus HaBayis was b'toras l'kuchos, so then that's the difference. Then you have to be machzirin zel zebi Yovel. If you hold that it wasn't Beteres Lekuchos, it was Beteres Yershin. So then what do you have to divide it up? The din of Chazar Sadas B'Yovel was only said in Lekuchos, it wasn't said in Yershin. That's a famous Gemara. Anyone know the connection between this Gemara and Parshas Kisavo? Comes the Gemara Gittin in the end of the fourth parak and says, there was a machlekes in Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish. When a person owns only a kinyan peiros on something, not a kinyan aguf, can you say the words around me of it, of you or not? What does the kinyan peiros mean? Let's say I buy a tree from you. So either I can buy the tree itself, I'm a bialim of the tree itself, or I'm not a bialim of the tree. I bought the tree vis-a-vis the rights to eat the fruit. But in terms of the ownership of the etzema tree, you still retain ownership on that. I bought a piece of land from you. Either I bought the gufa karka, or I didn't buy the gufa karka, it's your karka. I bought the karka vis-a-vis achilas haperes, but the gufa karka still retains, you retain your rights on it too. So that's a concept called kinyan peiros. As the machlekes Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish is kinyan peiros, ki kinyan aguf, and not ki kinyan aguf. What does that mean? Sometimes the Torah says a certain halacha is only true if you're the owner, if you're the bialim. So the fact that I own a kinyan peiros on something, am I called a bialim? Is it called my object? But you say no, kinyan peiros will have ki kinyan aguf. So the Gemara says, the nafkamina, the big machlekes Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, the most important nafkamina ones, Hamoiches adel peiros, maybe the kire, and maybe the inner kire. If I sell a piece of land to you, not the land itself, I don't sell you the gufa karka. I retain the rights to the gufa karka, but I give you the karka vis-a-vis eating the fruit. That's called the kinyan peiros. Now you go ahead and you have peiros that grow on that land. So you have peiros, you have to bring bikurim. Parshas Kisav, you have to bring bikurim. Can you say arami ovidavi or not? Why? What's the shaila? What do you say in arami ovidavi? V'yatah hinei hevesi as precious pri ha'adam Hashem, huh? Shenasata li Hashem. You have to praise the Kadosh Baruch, to thank Kadosh Baruch for giving you the land. Do you own the land or not? So comes Rish Lakish and says, maybe v'yanu kairi. He says, how can you possibly say Shenasata li Hashem? You're not the owner of the fruit. You have to say, you're not the owner of the land. Kinyan peiros is lafik, kinyan aguf dami. And Rabbi Yechon says, nah, geshmeh, come on, that's good enough. You can say Shenasata li Hashem, kinyan peiros is kinyan aguf dami. Machlok yisam erayim. Very nice. Comes the Gemara and says in Maseches Gittin, every time you have a Mechira Sod in Eretz Yisrael, Bizman HaYovel, it's automatically halacha equivalent to what? When I sell you land in Eretz Yisrael during the time of the Yovel, that's only a Kinyan Peiros.
haraya to kinyan peiros, you're getting it back in 10 years from now. So the Gemara makes that equation. The Gemara says that every mechira sada bizman hayovel, mechira bizman hayovel, equals a mir kinyan peiros. So says the Gemara in Ochinami, any person who sells land, say Reuven sells Shimon land bizman hayovel, when Shimon brings bikurim, according to Reish Lakish, he can't say the parsha of Rabbi Yovi Rabbi. Only the original owner can actually say the parsha of Rabbi Yovi Rabbi. Nope. Who's going to fill in the gaps now? The Gemara just said, according to Reish Lakish, according to Reish Lakish, Mechir Bezman Yovel equals a Kinyan Peiros. According to Reish Lakish, Kinyan Peiros Lach, Kinyan Guftam, he can't say Rabbi Yovi Rabbi. No? Come on, who's going to fill in the rest? Says the Gemara, I have a kasha in Parshas Kisava. Everyone read Parshas Kisava this week? I have a kasha in Parshas Kisava. The Torah says, V'hoya Kisava Yalu Haaretz, you're going to come to Eretz Yisrael, and you're going to say the Parshas Bikurim, and your son's going to say the Parshas Kibburim, and for the next 1,000 years, they're going to say Parshas Bikurim. According to Reish Lakish, it's not true. How can you say Parshas Bikurim? The only way you could ever say Parshas Bikurim, according to Reish Lakish, is if you have a full-fledged bailus on the land, that you have a kid in a goof. Every time the halacha requires chachzaras asanas b'yovel, you automatically don't have a kinyan haguf. So according to Reish Lakish, how could you ever have the parsha mikra bikurim? There's only one way to do it. How is it? There's only one way to ever have mikra bikurim according to Reish Lakish. You never sold your land, but Yerusha, but wait a second, you have an achen shechoko mekukla saying, so you have to be machzir b'yovel. Oh, so the Gemara says, "Lo mashkachas lo mikra bikurim ela ben achaben achaben achaben." Only one son going back to the days of Yeshua ben Nun. If there was ever any other son, anyone in the last 1,000 years ever had two sons, mikra bikurim was out the window. Do you hear what I just said? I just put together all the pieces of this, right? Connect the dots, everybody. Say, according to Reish Lakish, can you perish a laugh with hitting a guftami? Whenever you have a mechir b'zman hayovel, so. That's called the Kinyan Peiros. Whenever you, if you hold the Achat Shechok or the Kuchas Hain, so you have to be Machzir B'Yovel. So it's a Kinyan Peiros. So you never have Mikra Bikurim, according to Reish Lakish. The only way to ever perceive, or ever conceive of having a Mikra Bikurim is only if you have one son, Ad, back to Yeshua Ben Nun. You know what the Gemara says about that? What the Gemara in Gittin says about that in the fourth parak? One word. Ridiculous, the Gemara says. That's absurd. Says, that doesn't make any sense. That's right. What the Torah gave us Parshas Kisava for. You know how many drushes we get? I spoke about Mikra Bikurim 10 times over Shabbos. Mikra Bikurim, Rabbi, with Avi, Chischachos, and you have to appreciate to this, and you have to this. I spoke about children and fruit. And this drusha, that drusha, the other drusha, the whole Shabbos. And somebody tapped me on the shoulder and said, Rabbi, what are you hacking and chanting for? We never say Mikra Bikurim because we hold like Reish Lakish. Nobody asked me that question. So according to Reish Lakish, according to Reish Lakish, there's no such thing as Mikra Bikurim, practically speaking, for all practical purposes. So Gemara says, you're right, it would be so absurd for somebody to say that. Therefore, Reish Lakish must hold what? Reish Lakish, by default, must hold what? Achen Shechokhu Yershenheim. The Gemara says, Reish Lakish is sheet about Kinyan Peiros and Kinyan Haguf, pushed him into the corner to say, Achen Shechokhu Yershenheim. Rabbi Yechanan, who held what? What does Rabbi Yechanan hold? Rabbi Yechanan holds Kinyan Peiros is Kinyan Haguf. So according to Rabbi Yechanan, as long as you have a Kinyan Peiros, you can also say Parshas Rami Avid Avi. So Rabbi Yechanan was free to say Ha'achat Shechok, what? The Kuchosein. And that's exactly what Rabbi Yechanan said. So that's the Gemara Gittin in the end of the fourth parak, that Rabbi Yechanan is L'shitasai and Reish Lakish is L'shitasai, because both Rabbi Yechanan and Reish Lakish were looking at Parshas Bikurim. To come to the conclusion that Parshas Bikurim doesn't exist, that's off the charts. That's impossible. You can't say Parshas Bikurim doesn't exist. So you have to somehow salvage Parshas Kisavo. So there's one of two routes to go to salvage Parshas Kisavo. Either you could salvage Parshas Kisavo by going Rabbi Yechanan's route of saying Kinyan Peiros and Kinyan Haguf, or you can salvage Parshas Kisavo by going Reish Lakish's version of saying Achat Shechoku. Okay? Those are the only two possibilities. One thing is crystal clear for the Gemara, but it's an absolute impossibility. B'shum pan v'oifed, the Gemara says black and white. It's impossible. Don't even dream of saying such a thing as what? Don't tell me that you possibly like Reish Lakish and Hukas Kinyan Peiros and Kinyan Haguf, and then you hold like Rabbi Yechanan and Hukas L'Kuchosin, right? That's impossible. So you think. So Tosis says, but if you look at all the Gemaras, that's exactly how it sounds like we're paskin. Taisa says, how can we paskin? Like half Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish, we're stuck with the same kasha that the Gemara rejects. The Gemara says it's absurd. So you gotta learn Gittin to the end of that kasha. Take a look at the end of the fourth paragraph of Gittin. Taisa's trying to salvage our psak. How can you have your cake and eat it? Sounds like the two dinim are contradictory. So Taisa revamps what the Kuchos means, not for now. So why do we spend the last 10 minutes talking about this? Because I want to just give a flavor that this question of how to view the chaluk of Tfus Abayis is a machlekes on love of the Arayis and Chab Stav Kaminas Ladin and Hilchas Yoivan, Hilchas Bikurim, Kini Peiris, Harani Abidavi. The whole world is depending upon this fundamental question of how do you divide up Yerushas? Division of Yerusha called Beteris Lekukos, or is it called Beteris Yerushi? So this is a global question. This affects Kam Vakamadinim Minat Torah. With that background comes the Gemara Bava Kama and raises another question. Here the Gemara takes this issue and puts it right back at the Dinim Avedis. Comes the Gemara and says, we had Yaakov, and we're only going to give Yaakov two sons here. There's Reuven, there's Shimon. Okay? Yaakov dies, Yerusha goes to Reuven and Shimon. Reuven and Shimon divide up the Yerusha. So let's say Yaakov died, he left $1,000. So Reuven walks away $500. Shimon walks away with $500. Everybody's happy. Okay? Shalom Yisrael. Until something comes to our attention. What is that? Anyone still have a comment of test? Yaakov owed money. What? Yaakov owed money. How much did Yaakov owe? It was $500. He had a loan, right? Before he died, he borrowed $500. His nechasim and mishubadim. He never paid it back. He's got to pay back. Got to pay back the loan. You borrow money, got to pay back the money. So they can go after his yorshim to collect the money. So what should happen? Let's say here comes a Boshe with a claim that says Yaakov owes $500. So what Moshe really should have done was go to Beis Din and try to, Beis Din's going to pull in both Reuven and Shimon in and say, listen, the correct thing to do is how are you supposed to pay off this loan? Obviously. Each one I give $250, so it's a loan. That's what's supposed to happen. Because in the Chosma Mishubadim, nothing happening, nothing doing. Moshe goes ahead. He goes ahead, he's close to the Shimon, and he grabs Shimon's $500. Walks away with Shimon's land, not $500 cash, it won't be. He grabs land worth $500. So Shimon's fuming, but Moshe's got a shtar. So Moshe wins. There's no question Moshe won the din Torah. There's no question Moshe's got 500 bucks of land to keep. No one's going to take that away from him. Shimon's fuming at who? Who's he mad at? He's mad at Reuven. He comes to Reuven and says, listen, my dear brother, so listen, the father died. He left us equal amount of Yerusha. I just paid off the whole loan. Can you please reimburse me for $250? That's Shimon's taina. Not a good taina, not a good taina. So much it depends. If you view the relationship of Reuven and Shimon as Yarshim, that means they never really bought each other out. It's still a quasi-like a Tfus Abayis type of halacha. So the chov is still mutal of both of them. So Shimon has every right to demand $250 from Reuven. But, says the Gemara, what if you view Reuven and Shimon not as Yarshim, you view them as Lekuchos, so then we get a whole different picture. If Lekuchos, then it could be that we view it as if Reuven, in effect, sold his chelek to Reuven. Shimon sold his chelek to Reuven. Reuven sold his chelek to Shimon. But you know, when you're dealing with lekuchos, the halacha is: let's say I sell you a piece of land, and it turns out that somebody had a claim against that land, and the person comes and takes the land. So you end up with nothing. No, you come back to me. That's called Lokech Be'achrayas. You have a right to come back to the Moichah and say, listen, I bought the land for you, I've laid out money for the land for you, they took the land away, I want my money back. So that's what Shimon has a right to say to Reuven. Listen, I sold you your land, I gave you, we made a deal, it was a Mechira. You're a Lokech, I'm a Lokech. They took away part of the land that you sold me. You sold me this land, I want my money back. Give me $250 back. So the Gemara is a Machlekes, and Bava Kama Deftes, does does Shimon have a right to demand $250 back from Reuven? If you hold that it's Yarshim, then presumably he does. You hold the Kuchos. I'm sorry, if you hold it's Yarshim. Start again, what did I say? Start again. If it's Yarshim. Start again. That's correct. I didn't give the third case. That's the problem. If it's Yarshim, what's the din? If it's Yarshim, he can. If it's Lekuchos, Lechor, he also can, because he has a right to claim that it was a Mechir B'Achrayas. Unless you say the third possibility, I left out. What's the third possibility? It was a Mechir Shawa, Shalom B'Achrayas. Let's say I sell something to you, and we didn't make a stipulation, we didn't write in the Shtar that you have a right to come and collect if the Mechir goes bad. So then you have no right to go after the Mechir. So the Gemara throws all three different possibilities out of the table. What is the relationship between Reuven and Shimon? Are they Yershim? Are they Lekuchos? And if they're Lekuchos, are Lekuchos Bechrayis or Shlo Bechrayis? So Rav had one thing to say and Shmuel something else to say. And right now we're not learning either Rav or Shmuel. We're focusing on one statement of the Gemara. Who was that? Rav Asi. Comes Rav Asi with a very cryptic statement. And Rav Asi says, when Shimon comes to Reuven and takes a din Torah, he gets what? What's it called? What was the Gemara's phrase? Revia bekarka, revia b'maos. That's the Pesach Rav Asi. Revia bekarka, revia b'maos. What in the world does that statement mean? Revia bekarka, revia b'maos. What do the words mean? Revia bekarka, revia b'maos. So here after Rishonim say, what that means is as follows. That Shimon has a right to collect how much? Revia. He's not going to get half back like he really wants. He really wants to get $250 back from his brother. We're not going to give him that. We're going to give him a quarter back of what he lost. We're going to give him $125 back. How are we going to give back that money? Either the character of the most. If Reuven wants to give him a piece of land worth $125, that's fine. If Reuven wants to just throw cash in his face, that's also fine. So the Gemara uses a funny way of describing getting back the money, because the Gemara just wants to highlight you can pay him back in any way whatsoever. So the Gemara says, Reviya Bekarka, Reviya Bemos. But the bottom line is, how much are you giving him back? You're giving him back Reviya. Okay? That's what the Gemara says. That's the way you have to Rishonim by the Gemara. Reviya is all you're going to get back. Why? Why do you only get it back Reviya? What does the Gemara say? What's the suffix? We're not sure whether you're Yarshim. If you're Yarshim, then you're entitled to the full 250 back. If you're only, if you're Lokeach, and if you're Lokeach, Shelo B'Achrayos, then you're entitled to nothing back. So we have a suffix. We're not sure. So since we don't know what to do, Mamun Mutabu Suffix Chokin, have you heard of that? If you didn't hear about that, yeah, you can hear about it soon. Since we're not sure what to do, so therefore we split. And we give you back 125. If you were really Yarshim, you would have gotten 250. If you're Lokeach, Shelo B'Achrayos, you would have given back zero. We don't know what to do. Right back in the middle, we give back 125. At can divya Gemara the way many Rishonim present the Gemara. Comes Tosfos and says, hey, wait a second. This Gemara, l'chora, touches on our sugya of Ein Savig Matzvi Devadai. Why is that? Shimon is coming to scream at Reuven and say, Reuven, you're walking away, you got $500 in your pocket. It's not fair. You have $500 in your pocket, Reuven. I want some of that money. Give me how much? What Shimon's tied to Reuven? Give me 250 of that 500. Hold on, one second. How much does Reuven have? Reuven's starting out with 500. At the end of the day, when the whole case settles, how much is Reuven for sure going to have, believe Shem Sofek? There's no question Reuven's still going to walk away with what? With 250. Shimon can never get that out. That's ridiculous, right? Reuven obviously is not going to have to give up the whole 500. Why should Reuven have to pay back the whole Chayiv? The only time that Shimon realizes that. So the only time that Shimon, the only tvi Shimon has against Reuven is on 250. But there's no question Reuven's going to hold on to 250 when this case ends. So what can we call that? Reuven's relationship to this money is now what? 250 is Vadai. The other 250 is what? Is Suffolk. We don't know whether it's Lekuchos, Shelo B'Achrayos, or whether it's Yarshim. We don't know what to do with that. So comes Tyson and says, hey, wait a second. What should we say, Rabbi Isai? There's a classic, ain't what? Ain't Safi Masmi Devadai. If so, how much money should Shimon be reimbursed? What's the answer? Absolutely nothing. So what does Rav Asi say? It's a suffix. We don't know what to do. We throw our hands up, so we give him 125 and call it a day. No, ain't suffix mitzvah devadai, and we should give him absolutely nothing. Because after all, Reuven is a something. Reuven for sure got 250. Well, to put it into Bamitziah Davbe's terms, Reuven's got a half a talus. Reuven's for sure got something. He's for sure going to win. He's got money to deposit in the bank. No question. He's got $250 to deposit in the bank. If he's got 250, let him keep the other 250 also. Why does Rav Asi say it's a suffix and you have to pay 125? That's Tosis Kasha. So what does Tosis say? Zetman Fandor, what do you see from Rav Asi and Daftas and Babakam? And what does Tosis say? By saying, who's right? And he ain't telling about the Devadi story. Who's right? Us or Rashi and the Rashbam? According to Tosis, when do you say ain't suffering but to the Vaday? When? Only when it's a suffix in the what? In the Gavra, in the Shem Yerish. Is there a suffix in the Shem Yerish here? There's no suffix in the Shem Yerish. There's a suffix in Chayshemish, but how do you view Yerusha? Is Yerusha this or is Yerusha that? That's not a suffix in the Shem Yerish. That's a joke. Suffix in the Shem Yerish means I have a person in front of me, I don't know who the father is. He's a suffix Yerish. Here, we have a suffix. We learn Mesechus Gittin, we learn Chayshem Mishpat, and we don't know what the term meant, what a Chalukas of Tfisa Bayis is. Is it a Chalukas based on Yerusha, or is it a Chalukas based on Lekuach? That's not a suffix of the Shem Yerish. So therefore, according to Tosfos, the whole sugya of Ein Suffix Sei Vavdai doesn't get off the ground. This is like B'Metziah Dabbeis. According to Tosfos, B'Metziah Dabbeis, B'Vakamad of Tess, are Haynu Hach. Remember, there are four cases, potential cases of Ein Suffix Sei Vavdai. No, we got Baba Kama, Daf Tes, you got Bava Metzia, Daf Beis. What are the others? You got Bava Basra, Daf, what was that? Kufnun Tes, something like that. What's the other one? Yivam is Daf Lamed Ches. According to Tosfos, which of these is not like the other? Pardon my Sesame Street reference. Which of these cases is not like the other, according to Tosfos? According to Tosfos, this is the only case under the sun that you can apply Ein Suffix Motzim Devadai. Because this is the only case that's a suffix in the Shem Yerush. This is the suffix in Mitzias when the house fell down. And this is the suffix who owns the palace. And this is the suffix in Halacha, whether it's Yerush or Melechuchas. This is the only case that qualifies as an Ein Suffix Mitzim Devadai. But according to Rashi and the Rashbam, who said, not only is this an Ein Suffix Mitzim Devadai, this is also Ein Suffix Mitzim Devadai, according to Rashi and the Rashbam. And Baba Mitzia was a quirk. Baba Mitzia, don't bother me, Baba Mitzia. Who's learning Baba Mitzia anyway these days? The Gemara's not even open. Who cares about Baba Mitzia? Dabbei, say Rashi and the Rashbam. This is the exception to the rule. Why is it exception to the rule? No, Rabbi said, come on, little Chazara. With three reasons, right? Why is it an exception? Why doesn't Ein Suffix Motzim Devadai apply according to Rashi and the Rashbam? Either because, according to the Texas Rush, one guy created the suffix, can't take his money away because he created the suffix. Or according to the Mukha Yosef, it's what? Because it's a Yerusha, it's a different, the Yerusha is different. According to the Ritva, why? Because there's nobody there, because he's a nothing. Do any of those reasons help us in Baba Kama Daftes? Go through the list of the reasons. Okay, according to Rashi and the Rashbam, in Baba Kama Daftes, does the Rashi reason apply? Who created the sign? I don't cause any suffix. I'm not the one responsible for the suffix. So then according to the Rashi, ain't suffix to the other should apply. According to the Mechayel, say, by golly, what area of halach is this? Gee whiz, it's a din of Yerusha. And according to the Ritva, what do you mean I'm a nothing? I'm holding on to half my land. What do you mean I'm a nothing? The other guy's a nothing. The other guy has nothing to go on. Shimon's got Zippo to go on. He doesn't have any hands in my land. So according to Rashi and Rashbam, we can't have a Pella. But Mitzia, the fact that Mitzia, that Beis is not subject to Ein Suffix Motzim Devadai, that we solve with the three Rishonim. But what happened to the Vekamah Daftes? Why is the Vekamah Daftes not an absolute application of Ein Suffix Motzim Devadai according to Rashi and Rashbam? That's the real kasha. That's what guys should both be losing sleep over these days. That and saying sleepless. Why are guys not thinking about this? Nobody's thinking about this. Nobody. The whole day, the whole morning. This is the only thing you should be thinking about. According to Rashi and Rashbam, what went wrong with the Vekamah Daftes? Why is Ein Suffix Motzim Devadai not applied? That's the kasha. According to Tosfos, it's Nishkin kasha, and this is Tosfos Rai against Rashi and Rashbam. And Rashi and Rashbam said, no, the Gemara and Baba Kama Daftes is not going to bother us. Why isn't the Gemara going to bother us?
It seems like the Suffix Ravasi is having the Gemara is something about Zak.
Zak's going to be a whole new story. Zak's telling me a new klal Ein Suffix Motzim Devadai. I think that's what you're telling me. And if you're not, I'm going to tell you what you're telling me. Comes Zach and says, maybe Ein Safik Motziv Devadai cannot be plugged into Baba Kama Dav Tes for a totally separate reason. Because it's a Safik in Halacha. It's not a Safik in Metzius. This is a Safik in Metzius. Whose son is he? This is a Safik in Metzius. When did the house fall down? This is a Safik in Metzius. Who picked up the towels first? It's not a Safik in Metzius. This is a Safik that Rabbi Yechon Shlokhsha are working out in the Olam HaSal Yerim, in the world of the Beis Medrash. Is it Kelekuchos? Is it Kiyoshim? Rav Kirinus Bikurim? It's a Safik in Halacha. And the rules of Safik in Halacha are governed by different rules than the rules of Safik in Metzius. We think. Maybe. No? Who's going to tell me? Who's going to tell me? Who said such a thing? That a Safik in Halacha is ruled by different rules than a Safik in Metzius? Famous Rashbam in the Tosfos where? What? Back to where? Back to the Gachin Velochish Sugis from the beginning of the year. We didn't talk about it this year. We didn't really, we just said it under our breath. We had a whole Sugya of Abbasar, right, Ru? Whole Sugya of Abbasar about this. About the rules that govern Safik and Halachas may be different than the rules that govern Safik and Metzias. Maybe that's the solution to the problem according to Rashi. Maybe. Kenzai. Is there another approach to the Sugya according to Rashi? We're really in a pickle according to Rashi and Rashbam. A big, big pickle. You have this famous Shigamar Mavakama that is not applying the principle of Ein Safik Motziv Devadai. Unless Zach's right, which we're not sure he is, we're not sure exactly what happened to Ein Safik Motziv Devadai over here. It seems to be a perfect candidate for Ein Safik Motziv Devadai, according to Rashi and the Rishbam. So where do you have to go to answer this question? You have to go back to Baba Kama Daf Tes to make sure you read the Gemara properly. So of course I already fudged over the Gemara when I told it to you. What did the Gemara say? Ravasi gave a Halig Halig Psach of the Halig Ravasi. What did he say? It's Raviyah Bekarika, Raviyah Bemos. So when I explained that, I just said, yeah, what it really means is Raviyah, and I even drew a little box around it just to make it to show you. But everybody knew in the heart of hearts that I was just pulling the wool over your eyes. That Psha in the Gemara is a very, very difficult Psha. The way I explained this Gemara, the way we've been drawing this Gemara, Raviyah Bekarika, Raviyah Bemos, that it means you really pay Raviyah, it just means you can pay Bein Bekarika, Bein Bemos. If the Gemara meant to say that, what should it have said? Raviyah Bein Bekarika Bein Bemos. It's a modern way of talking. Raviyah Bekarika Raviyah Bemos. Which led a whole group of Rishonim to say that we got the wrong Pshat in the Gemara. They got me the wrong Pshat in the Gemara. Ravasi didn't mean to say you pay a quarter, you pay 125 and that's it. Ravasi said, no. You pay 250. But that 250 is divided up in two ways. You pay 125 of Mos and 125 of Karka. How do you explain away that phenomenon? What sense does that Pesach make? The answer is, Ravasi had no suffix that Reuven must reimburse Shimon for $250. That is not a shaila. There was only one possibility that could have theoretically been true to exempt Reuven from paying back anything. And that you have to say, that's not Yershim, that's not Lekech Biachrayas, what do you have to call it? That was the only logical possibility to get Reuven off the hook of Gamrei, and Ravasi wasn't even gairis that. He said, that's off the charts. That's not even a possibility. So there's no question that Reuven has to pay back Shimon. The only thing that we're not sure about is what the nature of Reuven's obligation to pay Shimon back is, because we're not quite sure what Chalukas HaTzvus is. It's either Yorshim or it's Lekuchos. But if it's Lekuchos, what kind of Lekuchos is it? It's Biachrayas. To say it's Lekech Shlo Bechrayis, that's ridiculous, says Ravasi. No one ever said that. I mean, somebody said it, but nobody's going to really say that. Says Ravasi, the whole suffix is only either Yorshim or Lekuchos. So my Nafkamina, if it's Yorshim or Lekuchos Bechrayis, you're going to get the money back anyway. My Nafkamina, the Nafkamina is not whether you're going to get the money back. The Nafkamina is how you're going to get the money back. If it's Yorshim, how does the split go back? What does Yorshim mean? Yorshim means that we're still part of the same basic to the Sabayas. So if I'm ending up with karka, you have to end up with equal amount of karka. So if we would be convinced that it's kiyoshim dami, Shmuel would have to give Shimon back how much? $250 in how? In karka. But we're not sure that it's kiyoshim. We think it may be what? It may be lekuchos. I'll be at lekuchos biachrayas. If it's lekuchos biachrayas, how do you pay back? With cash. If I sold you land and then somebody took the land away and I had written a shtar saying that I'm chayv and achrayas, how are you going to collect from the land? Should pay back cash. So comes the Gemara and says, according to Ravasi, when Reuven pays back Shimon, he's got to pay him back 125 in karka because there's a chance that the yershim. He's got to pay back 125 in most because there's a chance that the lekukos. If Rav Asi would have known that the yershim, he would have told him 250 in karka. If he would have known that the lekukos bechrayis, he would have told him 250 in most. If he would have known the lekukos shlo bechrayis, he would have told him zero. So Rav Asi says, look, the zero option is not an option. That's not even on my radar screen. I'm not sure whether it's Yorshim or Lekukos Be'achrayas. Therefore, I'll give you a Pesach, I'll give you 125 and 125. So when the Gemara says Revi'ah Be'kaka, Revi'ah Be'mos, the Gemara didn't mean Revi'ah Be'kaka or Revi'ah Be'mos. The Gemara meant Revi'ah Be'kaka, Revi'ah Be'mos. 125 of each. That's what Rav Asi meant. If that is the correct Pesach in the Gemara, then we are home free, Rabbi Sai. We're on a roll. Why? Why are we on a roll? If this is the correct Pesach in the Gemara, why do we feel much better now, according to Rashi and the Rishbam? There's no suffix in Vada here. So there's a suffix in Vada. Instead of what's in the Vada means that I'm for sure entitled to the money and you're not for sure entitled to the money. Here, we know exactly what Shimon's entitled to. We know exactly what Reuven's entitled to. We know exactly what the numbers are going to be. Our suffix is how it's going to play out. Is it going to be this way? Is it going to be that way? At least that's an issue. So we'll split it up. 125, 125. But it's not a shaila that he's going to pay. Ein Safek Matzei Devadi always means that we don't know whether he's going to pay or not. So in Bava Basa Kufnin Test, we don't know whether I have to give you the property. In Yavamas, we don't know who's going to get the Yerusha. From Betzia, we don't know who's going to get the palace. These are all potential issues of Safek and Vada. Here, we know exactly. I'm going to get 250 and you are going to get 250. We just don't know how it's going to play out. We don't know whether it's going to be the Karak, whether it's going to be Mos, whether it's Yosh, Mel, Kukos. It's a totally different sugya. So this pshat is probably a glat mahadim mahadim pshat. There's a gewaltig pshat. There's a mayudik pshat in the Gemara. It's so great. The boys say it's so great for another reason. I don't know why. Why else is it a great pshat? It's such a better pshat than the other pshat. Besides the words of the Gemara. What other glaring problem is this on this whole sugya? I'm shocked that nobody jumped on me. Nobody jumped on me either because nobody knows what I'm talking about, or nobody jumped on me because it was so partial to them. Isn't there some glaring shot, some glaring problem in the sugya? Shimon comes to Reuven and says, give me back the money. And Rav Asi says, I'm not sure, and therefore give you back half. That's how we run the Neteira? Really? That's what the Neteira runs? Who's Mosuk here? Huh? Is it Reuven Mosuk? Shimon's coming, Baruch Abu, here I am, and give me half the money? That all smacks of who? Sounds of who? The Bezim and Bezim Mamatzir. Who's that sound like almost? Like Sumchus? We follow Sumchus? That's news. What did the Chacham say? Hamotzi what? It's a Mosuk Velavaraya. It's a Mosuk Velavaraya. What do you mean you're going to get, I'm going to give you back anything? You don't know what the din is? So go learn Chashim Mishpun. Figure out what the din is. I'm not giving you a penny. But I'm talking about Sukkot Avaraya. How come nobody asked me this kasha? You let me speak for 20 minutes and nobody jumped down at me and said, what happened, Rabbi? One second, stop. Stop the case. Forget it. It's Sukkot Avaraya. In all these other cases, there's no Muxak. There's nobody. Here we have multiple Muxakim. That's the whole problem of Shnai Mechzin. Here, nobody's a Muxak. We're trying to figure out what to do. Here, nobody's a Muxak. We're trying to figure out what to do. Here, there's already a Muxak. Reuven's ready to ask Muxak in the money. Shimon's coming and to take away money that is in the hands of Reuven Mabitom. What happened to Muxak? So comes Taisis in Baba Kamet of Tess and says, don't bother me with Muxak Levarai. You know why? Because it's not Shaykh to this discussion. Why is it not Shaykh to this discussion? Taisis never explains. What's the answer? It's Pashut. If you say this Pshat in the Gemara, then what? It's not a question of Muxak. We know you're going to pay. It's not a question you're going to pay. It's a question of how you're going to pay. What do you say? Motzei chvel on what? Your motzei chvel that you're going to get karka? Your motzei chvel you're going to get most? Well, the words don't make any sense. Motzei chvel v'raya means we don't know whether you're going to pay. So then the halacha says, if somebody's muxak, you don't have to pay. Here we know you're going to pay. We just don't know how you're going to pay. What does that have to do with muxak? What does that have to do with motzei chvel v'raya? So this pshat is the gevaldik pshat. This pshat solves the world's problems. It solves the motzei chvel v'raya dilemma. It solves Tzitzis Kashya and Rashi. This is great. This is gevaldik. So if we had an end shiur this second, we would say, Baruch Hashem, We answer the kasha according to Rashi and the Rishbam. We solve the world's problem. We don't need Zach. We don't need Suffolk and the Halachas and Mitzias and Mises from Taizim and Rishbams. We don't need that. We're home free because we had the wrong pshat in the Gemara. The correct emes pshat is Reviyah Bekach Mimos means you pay both. And that will totally avoid the whole discussion of Eitz Hara Ritz and Vav over here. We are very, very comfortable. But we have to be intellectually honest. Rashi and Bavakam of Test quotes both pshatim and rejects this pshat. So he doesn't think this pshat is correct. The Rashbam in Baba Basra, where this sugya appears, the other Rishon are holding out to hear what he has to say, also rejects this pshat. So he doesn't think this is the right pshat. So, you know, there's a limit what we can do to save the Rishonim. And we were trying to save Rashi and Rashbam, but they're causing trouble for us. It's like it does in Rashi, pshat, and Gemara. You created the whole, your own problem. We had a gavaldika problem. We had a gavaldika solution. The gavaldika solution was change pshat in the Gemara. Revamp the Gemara. But Rashi and the Rishbam themselves quote such a pshat and say it's wrong. It's not the correct pshat. Which is startling because Tosfos were the ones who said that this pshat is the correct pshat, even though we would have liked for Tosfos to like the other pshat, because Tosfos, the other pshat, would have given them a little bit more support for the Ein Sof Mos Devadai. So for some strange, deep, dark secret, there are two ways to read this Gemara. One way fits much nicer into Rashi's and Rashbam's theory about Ein Sof Mos Devadai. The other pshat fits much nicer into Tosfos' theory about Ein Sof Mos Devadai. And the Rishonim would just switch teams on us. That Rashi and Rashbam quoted the pshat that's impossible to understand according to them, unless you fall back on that. And Tosfos quoted the other pshat doesn't contradict Tosfos, it just doesn't help Tosfos. So basically, when all the dust settles, what do we know about Ein Sof Mos Devadai? A very, very simple sugya, right? Easiest sugya so far this year? Nothing to it. Come on, guys. Come on. Come on. Sugya's only going to get more labor day. I didn't say harder. I just said more labor day. So what do we have, everybody? So, you know, we have an age-old principle called Ein Sof Mos Devadai. Next sugya is very easy. We have an Ein Sof Mos Devadai. That's a principle that appears in Yevamos Tov Lamechas. The question all to be shown on the bottom of Metziyat HaBeis, is that principle applicable here or not? So we had a Machlokes Rashi and Rashbam against Tosfos, what the nature of that principle is. We took a little tour through Shas to try to see whether it applies here, Baba Basra, Baba Metziyat, Yevamos. Then we bumped into Baba Kamed of Tess, which, at least the way some Rishonim read Pshat in the Gemara, may become very critical in terms of paskening up some issue of Ein Sof Mos Devadai. We saw the alternate Pshat in the Gemara, which would have been very, very convenient to get out of this problem, but you have to be honest that Rashi and Rashbam themselves don't seem to go that route. So when all the dust settles, we still have Rashi and Rashbam's theory of Ein Sof Mos Devadai. We have Tosfos' theory of Ein Sof Mos Devadai. The part that's most important for us, of course, is Bamitziyah Dabbeis. Why is Bamitziyah Dabbeis not an application of Ein Sof Mos Devadai? According to Tosfos, it's obvious. It's not a Suffolk in the Shem Gavra. According to the Rashi and the Rishbam, it's a little bit less obvious. So you have to either invoke the Tosfos Rashi or the Nevi'ahs or the Ritva, all the different permutations in the Rishonim, why this Gemara Dabbeis is the exception to the rule of Rashi and the Rishbam, Ein Sof Mos Devadai. Okay? Everyone got it? Everyone read the Gemara? Everyone saw the Tosfos? Right, Rashi? You got the whole thing down pat? It's right there, right? Huh? Right there. Just read it. You gotta read it. You gotta read the Beis and Bamitziyah, and you gotta read Bava Kamadav Tess, and Bava Basdav Kufin Tess, and Bava Mislam Tess. And when you finish all four of these Gemaras, you put the picture together, so that it looks like one big disaster chart like we have on the board here. Okay. See you on tomorrow. So tomorrow is Tuesday schedule, right? Because it's Tuesday, so it's Tuesday schedule. So Shia at 11, okay? So we'll start mid-term the next week. The next week is a significantly easier, we'll catch your breath a little bit the next one, because the next one's after that get harder.